Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Richard Rossi Live. This is Richard Rossi, and I'm very happy to be back on air with you. I appreciate all the calls and the emails. I had a show, Richard Rossi Live. Richard Rossi Live was broadcast on WPIT-FM until that station sold. And I've been so grateful for all the love. I felt like I went to my own funeral or read my own obituary to have so many nice things from former listeners encouraging me to get back on the air. So we're back on the air. This is our first show today. And I'm going to talk today about helping you with your creativity to find what you're passionate about and to monetize that passion in a way that can make you money and make you happy. And so I'd like to start by asking you a question before I start to answer the questions. And by the way, if you want to call in any questions to the show live, here's the guest call-in number, 347-637-2379. And you can call in live on air your questions as others have. But I have a question for you, and that is, if you had one wish, what would it be? What would you want to do with your life? If you could do whatever you want to do, money's no object, what would you do? Who would you be? And the reason I ask that question is a recent survey says over 80% of us are doing what is called soul-draining work, work that doesn't really feed us, that doesn't really inflame us, inspire us. And so I want you to get a piece of paper if you can. Get a pen or pencil right now and make two columns. And on the right, say what fires you up. What is it when you do it you lose track of time? And then on the left side, what is it that drains you? I know at times all of us have probably, most of us at least, I won't say all, some people might be trust fund babies out there, but most of us, we've probably had to do some jobs that we didn't like at one point or another to pay the bills. I wrote a little limerick about that that says, 9 to 5 makes me feel unalive, but sometimes I've had to do it in order to survive. But what is it that you do that drains your soul, and what is it that you love to do, and do you want to get paid for doing what you love to do? Because that is the point of this program today, is I want to help you learn how to get paid to do what you love to do, because I believe you deserve it. I believe that the talents that are innately in you are gifts from God, and what you do with those gifts is your gift back, and that gift is worth a value, so you should be paid for what you do. That's the subject of a book I wrote called Create Your Life. It's available on Amazon, Daily Meditations on Creativity. Answers for artists, actors, writers, minstrels, mavericks, bohemians, and burned-out believers. I'll tell you a little bit about myself real quickly, because this show's about you and I want to help you today. But just to give you a little bit of my background, I was born in a musical family. My father and mother were professional musicians. I played music with them as a kid. We played on weekends in Pittsburgh, where I grew up, in the bars and nightclubs of Pittsburgh. I got into writing as a teenager, writing my own songs by myself and also in tandem with my best friend in high school, John Walker. And I worked in my 20s as a maverick guitar-playing minister in my hometown. My wife, Sherry, and I got married when I was 21. We'll be married 30 years next year. We have two children who are also very artistic. Joshua, my son, has a band called the Aeons. In fact, that was a little bit of their music at the beginning of the show. My daughter, Karis, is into dancing, acting, and other pursuits. I'm a multimedia artist. I express my creativity in a lot of different ways. I just directed a film about my hero growing up in Pittsburgh, Roberto Clemente, that just came out on Amazon and it will be in theaters next year. It's called Baseball's Last Hero, the Roberto Clemente story. So I do a lot of things. I act, I do music, I make films, write and direct films. So I just say all that to say that I've went through a lot of the things I'm going to talk about today firsthand, the struggles that we all go through when we have certain passions to do one thing, but myself as a father, husband of two children, had to pay bills as well. So Let's go right to some of these questions that some of you have. We have a question. Jeff from Des Moines asks, Richard, you mentioned God and spirituality a lot. I come from a religious tradition that suppressed my creativity, so it's hard for me to understand why you relate art and God together. What is the connection? Thank you for that question, Jeff. In my view, God is the ultimate artist, the master creator. And guess what? Artists love artists. I get along well with other artists because I'm inspired by them, their uniqueness, you know, their take on life. And so God is the creator of all things, is really excited when you get in touch with what you like to do. I think most of the time, 99.9% of the time, God's will for us is to do what we like doing, what we're innately gifted to do. And so I recommend highly connecting with God through whatever means works for you. It could be prayer, meditation, journaling, scripture. Nourish that spiritual connection, and that will help you as you turn your gifts over to the master artist and recognize that your creativity is part of God's creativity. He flows through your talents. You know, there are a lot of talented artists who are atheists and friends of mine and don't believe in God, but they find a spiritual path in order to nurture their creativity, or it dries up, and that for them might be, you know, solitude, nature, journaling, going off by themselves. But I'm convinced that the creative process is the same type of process, the same type of energy and process as the spiritual life. I come from a brief, well, actually not that brief, but I was in the fundamentalist Christian world for quite a while. I graduated from Liberty University. And there was a lot of hostility there to creativity. We weren't allowed to go to movie theaters and see movies in the theater. They had very strict rules about what music we were allowed to listen to. And it was more of a religious spirit than I believe, a true, authentic spirituality, because it was very controlling with a legalistic rule book we had to obey called the Liberty Way. But it was the name couldn't have been any more opposite to what the Liberty Way was. It was a bondage to follow all these rules. So I had to play catch up when I left that college and left that movement and educate myself on a lot of the film out there and see, you know, the film of the great masters, you know, Fellini and Bergman, the great European masters. And I had to really get back in touch with nurturing who God made me to be after being in that kind of spiritual straitjacket. So I understand the question, Jeff, that sometimes religion does suppress our creativity. And the Holy Spirit's very creative. It says in Genesis, God created everything and saw that it was good. I have a quote I came up with: art is a ministry and ministry is an art. And by that I mean that art is a ministry. It heals people. When people are in a movie theater, they often get in touch with emotions, and they cry, and they have this catharsis, and the light reaches them. The light coming from that movie screen, it reaches them in that darkened theater in a way that often conventional religious approaches doesn't. I was in Italy with a dear friend of mine, another fellow film director, Mark Freeberger, and both our films were up for an award in a film festival in Milan. My film, Sister Amy, about Amy Simple McPherson, and Mark's film, Dog Days of Summer. And I had a profound spiritual experience there in the Milan Cathedral, the Duomo. Priest there, an Italian priest, a long white beard, looked like God in the painting by Michelangelo that I saw in Rome the day before, you know, where God creates Adam and he has a long white beard. And the priest spoke over me that my gifts as an artist were from God, and to keep making art that lifts people up. And, you know, in Italy, you see all that wonderful, wonderful art, you know, in the Vatican Museum. And I had a profound experience there. And I looked up and I started praising God in Italian. I just kept saying spontaneously, Grazie Signore Gesù, Grazie Signore Gesù, which is praise you, Lord Jesus, in Italian, because I realized that art is such a calling, and creativity is one of the most spiritual experiences that we can have. And, you know, the audience has an emotional reaction in the movie theater or listening to music at a concert. And I agree with the substance of Jeff's question that religious dogma can be so doctrinaire it often hinders that. And artists, I've been involved in religion, I've been involved in politics, and I've been involved in art. And I can tell you that the artists are the most truthful. Artists air out the closets. Artists bring the healing light of truth into that darkened theater. And people relate vicariously, and they experience the dramatic catharsis, you know, that Socrates described. And I believe all the arts are related, and for me that's a good thing to know because I have different expressions. I've written a novel, Stick Man, about, you know, a coming-of-age story. I've done music albums. If you go on Amazon, you'll see I have music, movies, different things on there, books. And I try to do what I have a passion to do each day. I used to have guilt if I was working on the novel. Oh, I should be working on my film. What am I doing working on the novel? That inner critical voice. But I realized that all the arts come from the same seed. So when you work on one, you know, working on the music improves your filmmaking. Writing poetry improves your acting. Doing a collage makes your cooking more experimental. Even cleaning your apartment may open doors for your art. So just create. Just do what you have a passion to do today. There's a verse in the Bible I want to share with you. And before, as I'm turning to that, let me give the number again, because that was such a good question. If someone else wants to call in a question, call 347-637-2379. Again, 347-637-2379. Join us live right now. The verse I found in the Bible, it says here in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship. We are God's workmanship. Now, interestingly enough, I've studied the Koine Greek that the New Testament was written in. The Greek word for workmanship is poime, or poem. We get our word poem from that. So let that sink in for a moment. You are God's poem. You are God's poem. George Bernard Shaw said, we don't find ourselves. The task of life is to create ourselves. We are works of art, and your life is your greatest works of art, and you are a work of art created by God. Your life is a living expression of art. You are God's poem, God's masterpiece. I've done a lot of creative work, but my two children, Karis and Joshua, are the most beautiful creations I had a part in making. There's nothing more beautiful than a human being, and you are God's child. You are a masterpiece of creation. And like all masterpieces, from the works of Monet to Van Gogh to Picasso to the Sistine Chapel, or maybe a great film, art is the interplay of light shining through. I'm taking a cinematography course right now to improve my technical knowledge on film. And on a film set, the cinematographer or the DP, director of photography, evaluates how to light each scene. How does the director want to light this scene? Light shining like a light bulb that shines because of electric currents flowing through the wire. The spirit of the master artist flows through you and flows from one person to another. This is the light of the world. And John's gospel says that God lights everyone. In the first chapter of John, everyone who comes into the world, God lights them, it says, because they're made in the image of God. So accept your feelings, express your feelings, grow as an artist, shine your light. It is a spiritual process. And I wrote a song that we sing in Eternal Grace, our community of artists here in Hollywood, and it says, light of the world, shine through me. Light of the world, help me to see all your plans for me. Our number, if you'd like to call in, join the discussion, or ask a question, is 347-637-2379. 347-637-2379. Now, I have an exercise for you to do to get started on our journey here of you getting in touch with your creativity. It's a fun little game called People Who Inspire You. And I'd like you to make a list of people who inspire you from the time of your childhood until now. okay? Write down people. And then you can ask questions on this show, but I want you to actually use your imagination and ask a question to this group of people who inspire you and imagine how they would answer it. You'll most likely get some great advice. I have a pretty long list of people that inspire me, and it's a very diverse list. And it's really fun to imagine how they would answer questions. I have Jesus on my list. I have Roberto Clemente on my list, who I just made a film about. I have Marlon Brando on my list. Nelson Mandela, who just passed away, has always been one of my heroes because he is such a model of forgiveness, and they just have the funeral going on for him right now. But he was incarcerated for 28 years for standing up against racism, and yet when he got out, he forgave the people. He didn't seem to have the malice and the bitterness that would be totally understandable. I have another question that's come in here. This question is from Anna, and she's calling from New Jersey, and she's asking, I feel like I don't fit in. I'm interested in many things, and people pressure me to pick one job and stick with that. How do I fit in a world where my interests are constantly changing? That's a good question, Anna. J.R. Tolkien said, not all who wonder who are lost. And wondering, exploring, growing is very important. Two of the inspirational people on my list when I did the assignment of people who inspire me were Ben Franklin and Leonardo da Vinci. And the reason I like them is because they're what I would call scanners, and that term didn't originate with me. I got that term from Barbara Shear, an author, scanners. Someone that scans the horizon and pays attention to everyone and everything that, and looking for something new that might interest in them. A scanner is not limited to one vocation. They can wear a multitude of hats, and they can have a grasp on different subjects and skills. Those of us in the Western world, in America here, we have been indoctrinated with a very limiting belief from our faulty educational system, and that belief is that you have to declare your major and decide one and only one thing you're going to do with the rest of your life. There's a lot of historical reasons for that. World War II, we shifted towards militarism where we needed engineers and they wanted to, you know, invent bombs and focus on science and math and de-emphasize the arts. And so if you go back a little bit before all that, you'll find that in our pioneer days, in the days of, say, Ben Franklin in the Revolutionary era, or going back further to the Renaissance, Da Vinci, yeah, life was harder. We didn't have all the modern technology, but folks like Ben Franklin and Da Vinci had journals and journals of interest in a multitude of subjects. You'll see Da Vinci drawing on science and inventing things and painting, and Ben Franklin did so many things. So when you're an artistic, you have these creative things inside of you, you'll sometimes get people saying, you know, hey, why don't you just pick one thing and stick to that? What's wrong with you? And the worst speech a concerned friend, what I call the normies, the people that are living the normal lives and, you know, and settling for doing something they don't really feel passionate about, the normie will come and say, you know, Anna, you ought to get a real job and just do one thing. And that's what her question's about. And they usually deliver this speech as if they're the fount of all wisdom. And, you know, I'm tempted when people say things like this to be a little bit sarcastic, say, oh my God, you're such a genius. I never thought, oh, yeah, just do one thing and get a job I hate. Wow, are you brilliant. Thanks for the helpful advice. You know, work a real job. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, gee. Yeah, instead of pursuing my passion. Wow. You know, I never thought of or tried working a soul-killing job before, you know, but you're so brilliant, you've cleared everything up. Now, myself, I earned a bachelor's and master's degree in religion. I worked exclusively as a minister in my young adult years. And when I became interested in filmmaking, the poop hit the fan. And I had, you know, members of the congregation and even family and friends, some family and friends saying, you know, why do you want to do something you don't have any training in? You know, why do you want to do that? And I even had I had religious people, minister type people, telling me, this is your sinful desires and your ego wanting to glorify yourself and wanting attention for yourself. And now that I've made some movies that have won some awards and I've gotten some attention from my filmmaking, these same ministers telling me it was all ego in the flesh are sending me scripts now and saying, I feel the Lord wants you to make my script. I want to get into the motion picture business, you know. But artists do more than one thing. Scanners do more than one thing. You may play the piano and dance. You may act and write. You know, and so you got to learn to turn off that basher, slasher inner voice that's saying, you know, choose one thing. Don't be a dilettante. What's wrong with you? As I said earlier, all art comes from the same seed. So when you work on one, you're helping the other. Call in your questions at 347-637-2379, 347-637-2379. Another question has come in. What do you do when you have a project burning inside you? This question is from David in Alabama. What do you do when you have a project burning inside you, but you don't have the money to achieve it? I don't have the finances to make my dream. Very good question. And my answer is you greenlight yourself. He goes on to write that he's, you know, submitted his idea for a film to various studios and larger entities, and no one's given him the money. I've made films on no budget and low budget situations. And, you know, it involves a lot of multitasking, David. In an ideal world, we'd love to have millions of dollars and hire, you know, award-winning artists in all levels of production. But I'd encourage you to not wait for that and to make art with whatever you have. It's better to make art with what God puts in your hand than to not create at all. There's a story of Moses in the book of Exodus, and God asked Moses, what is in thy hand? And Moses replies, a rod. God tells Moses, it shall be the rod of God. So for the low-budget filmmaker, that rod may be your camera in your hand. One guy shot a film with a cell phone, and it was up for an Oscar a year or two ago. Most of the film was shot with his cell phone. It could be a camcorder in your hand, a DSLR. Now, you know, your financial necessity may have you to pray and ask God to inspire creativity through what you have. Do not draw back from making your art because you don't have the resources financially. Get help. Ask for help from as many people as you can. But sometimes the reality is you're going to have to rely on yourself in many capacities. And don't wait for Donald Trump or some elusive millionaire to show up and fund you or a big studio system to greenlight you. You don't need their permission. Greenlight yourself. I worked in a unique field in the religious world called church planting. 99% of ministers help out and establish church, but I worked with the 1% where going into a city that needed a congregation and helping to get started from scratch. And that takes faith. You have to have a vision and inspire people to be a part of it. But based on that metaphor, you have to have faith and believe you can do this project that you feel in your heart. It has to start with you. you have to call yourself an artist and not wait like Rumpelstiltskin for someone else to call your name. When I made my first dramatic feature film, Sister Amy, one of my first believers was my friend Jeff Griffith, the custodian at Pauley High School in Long Beach. And he heard me talk about making a movie about Amy Semple McPherson. She was a colorful female evangelist. And by the way, I made two films about her. If you go on Amazon, just search Richard Rossi, 5th Anniversary of Sister Amy, because it just came out in a set with both my films on Amy in one set for low price. But anyways, Jeff shows up one day at my home, unannounced, with a couple drugstore camcorders and an offer. And he says, you know, I'm tired of hearing you talk about making this movie, Richard. You know, I bought these cameras because I want you to start shooting today. But you can only use these cameras on one condition. And I said, well, what's the condition? We start shooting today, he said. I said, Jeff, you're just showing up. I don't have anything planned. I don't have anything planned with any actors or anything. We don't have a shot list. We don't have any storyboards. We don't have blah, 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 blah. Okay, you don't want to use the cameras. That's my condition. I said, okay, wait. You know, he bought this equipment. I said, we'll start. So fortunately, an actor friend of mine, Joe Gonzalez, was home, and he had a 1920s fedora. The story of Amy Semple McPherson takes place in the 20s. And we improvised a scene of Joe playing a reporter writing the obituary of Amy Semple McPherson. And that shot is in the final film. And so see yourself doing the dream, take the leap of faith, and start with what you have. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. Write down your creative ideas, no matter how small. Get it into some words. My script for Sister Amy came about slowly. I get a few words. I get a fragment of an image or a line when I was driving or going about my day. And I'd write these down on 3x5 cards. If I didn't have a card handy, a piece of scrap paper, a napkin at a restaurant, some of this was on placemats. And I eventually accumulated a couple hundred of these 3x5 cards and napkins. And that was my cinematic chapel, starting by faith. I put it into faith and sent a production listing to Variety and Hollywood Reporter, the two biggest trades in the movie industry, that I was making the film. And they sent me a form to fill out, to fill in all the names of my cast and crew. And this form was designed for big budget, studio films by Warner Brothers and Paramount. And all these names of different crew positions, and it was really just me and a couple friends. So I filled in all the blanks with the names of all my friends and relatives and sent it back, and lo and behold, they printed it in their production listings, and the phone started ringing off the hook. And the first couple calls came in from two of Hollywood's royal families. Rance Howard, Ron Howard's dad, who's a great character actor, called, and he said he was very interested in Sister Amy and would love to be in the film, and we met for coffee. I showed him. And also Charlie Chaplin's granddaughter, Kara Chaplin, called. She ends up in the film. So go for your dreams. I'm really thrilled to have had this first show with you. We're coming down to our closing seconds, and I'm going to take you out with my son's music, Josh Rossi and the Aeons, and look forward to being with you in the future. We're going to be having celebrity guests and various artists and thinkers that will be a blessing to you. Thanks for tuning in. And by the way, if you want to reach me, my Facebook is facebook.com/RichardRossiActor. Send me a friend request. If you want to email me, at RichardRossiActor@Yahoo. And keep in touch here and look for future shows at blogtalkradio.com/RichardRossi. blogtalkradio.com/RichardRossi.
a Degrassi disease.